You're listening to a podcast from the Today programme on BBC Radio 4. It has come, finally, the day of the 50,000th edition of the Daily Telegraph, and to mark it, there's a four-page pull-out with readers' letters down the ages, and, well, we've voiced a few of them up because they are very, very well worth hearing. Here's one from the 15th of November 1855, so right at the beginning. It criticises smoking in first-class train carriages, signed An Enemy to Tobacco.
I allude to persons smoking in first-class railway carriages, a habit not at all consistent with our present advanced state of civilization, and one quite at variance with refined taste. If people cannot be happy without the indulgence of a weed during a short journey by railway, why not have departments expressly for that purpose, so that those who do not wish to inhale the fumes of stale tobacco may be released from the nuisance?
Fast forward to 2009, a letter following the expenses scandal claiming public money for the care of ducks wasn't new.
Public money for the care of ducks is no innovation. When Charles de Saint-Evremond, the French soldier and satirist, was in exile in London, Charles II appointed him governor of the ducks in St. James's Park. This carried the handsome emolument of £300 a year. King William reappointed him at the same salary. Like the Chiltern Hundreds, this office of profit under the crown could be reinstated for MPs whose departure from Parliament should not wait.
And as well as pieces of knowledge like that, this was a letter sent by George Johnson in 2013, praising the naming of Prince George.
I'm not so self-centred as to think that the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge were swayed by my letter from July the 23rd, humbly proposing that the Prince be named George, but I'm delighted he has been. George Johnson.
Christopher House is the Telegraph's letters editor and is here. And Duncan Rayner is on the line, our Berkshire studio, who has had 150 letters published in the Telegraph. Morning to you both. And Duncan Rayner, first of all, how many do you write a week then?
Probably write two a day.
Two a day?
Yes.
Why?
I think Christopher must get fed up with me.
You know? No, he doesn't look
no,
fed
not
up,
at all. It's just that we have a sort of rule of thumb not to publish the same person more than once a month. So it's always welcome to have a letter from Mr. Rayner because he often says things other people are thinking but puts them better.
Do you write on a range of subjects?
All sorts of things, really. I think planning, because I was involved in planning locally, religion sometimes, HS2, occasionally have a dig at one or two people, Rebecca Brooks, I think, when she was in the news, and Chris Hewn when he was in the news. But anything that really takes me at the time.
Have you got, Christopher House, a number of correspondents like Mr. Rayner?
Well, some people do write every day, and some of them hardly ever get in because their letters are no good, but we get hundreds of letters every day. And during the MP's expenses scandal, there's one coming every minute, day and night, 1,800 a day. That's far more than would have arrived when the post was just coming through the letterbox.
And when you say some don't get in because they're no good, what are you looking for?
Well, we're looking for something pithy, original, witty, in the sort of Alexander Pope sense of what Hoff was thought but ne'er so well expressed. And Mr. Rayner actually expressed something which has been a constant topic from readers. Where are the police? Why aren't they on the beat? There was a letter on the subject in 1855 from a reader who says that when he was crossing Green Park, he's constantly annoyed by prostitutes, he says. And when he tells the police about it, they simply tell him to go round another way.
Mr. Rennie, you've written on that subject, where are the police as well?
Yes, I saw that one. I had a look through my letters last night, and that was one where I said they were all sitting up a lane somewhere with a speed camera.
Do you have, Christopher House, a sort of set of themes like that that you consciously want to carry on down the years as well?
No, not at all. I think the marvellous thing is that the readers really take possession of the page and practically the whole paper because they come up with things that we haven't thought of. I think, in a way, a perfect letter is like one that we had last year from somebody called Mrs. Jean Mellows explaining how she gave a little teddy bear mascot to her husband during the war. He was a fighter pilot. And they came back every time and he won a DFC with the help of the teddy bear. And then in the last sentence, he says poignantly, we were married for 50 years, but now, sadly, I just have the bear. And that letter really sparked a response from readers, and not only in the paper, but also online, on Twitter, people were wiping a tear from their eye. And it's just that sort of unlooked-for genius that we welcome every day.
And unpolitical.
Well, it doesn't have to be political, that's perfectly true. I mean, her letter was on something which is historical, but when politics is in the air, wow, they go really crazy, the readers.
Do you publish left-wing letters ever?
Oh, yes, awesome. All the time.
Do you? I mean, you regard it as a genuinely open to all...
The whole point of the page is it's a forum for debate and discussion. It's not supposed to be a complaints page, but we're supposed to be talking of things of common interest.
Duncan Rayne, a final word to you. What's your next letter going to be about? Well, you're going to write several today, as you... 10 seconds?
Probably another letter about Brexit. I've been trying to get something in there. But,
oh, look forward to that.
And when he said he was looking forward to it, he was actually looking as if he genuinely was. So, Christopher Haas, thank you, and Duncan Rayne as well. You can listen to more free content from the Today programme by going to www.bbc.co.uk/today.